text 3, and we're still in prose meter, so there's no verse, no meter. So yasya hindras pardamano bhagavan vashe navavashatad avadarya bhagavan rishabdevo yogeshvara prahash atma yogam mayaya svavasham ajanabam namabhya varsat. And yes, let's read it. Any ladies? Okay, word for word, please. Yasya. Of whom? He. Indeed. Indra. King Indra of heaven. Spardamanaha. Being envious. Bhagavan. Very opulent. Varshe, Ambalat Varsha, Navavarsha, did not pour water, Tat, that, Avadarya, knowing, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishabdeva, Rishabdev, Yogi Ishvara, the master of all mystic power, Prahasya, smiling, Atma Yoga Mayaya, by his own spiritual potency, Svavarsham, on his place. Ajanabam, Ajanaba, Nama, named, Abhyavarsat, he poured water. Translation. Indra, the king of heaven, who is very materially opulent, became envious of King Rishabdev. Consequently, he stopped pouring water on the planet known as Bharatvarsha. At that time, the Supreme Lord Rishabdev, the master of all mystic power, understood King Indra's purpose and smiled a little. Then, by his own prowess through Yoga Maya, his internal potency, he profusely poured water upon his own place, which was known as Ajanaba. Purport. We find the word Bhagavan used twice in this verse. Both King Indra and Rishabdev, the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, are described as Bhagavan. The word Bhagavan means that one is a very opulent and powerful person like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada or Indra. They are all addressed as Bhagavan due to their extraordinary opulence. King Rishabdev is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and therefore he was the original Bhagavan. Consequently, he is described herein as Yogeshwara, which indicates that he has the most powerful spiritual potency. He is not dependent on King Indra for water. He can supply water himself, and he did so in this case. In Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Yagnad Bhagavati Prajanya. Due to the performance of Yagya, clouds of water are manifest in the sky. Clouds and rainfall are under the management of Indra, the heavenly king. But when Indra is neglectful, the Supreme Lord himself, who is also known as Yajna or Yajnapati, takes the task upon himself. Consequently, there was sufficient rainfall in the place named Ajanaba. When Yajnapati wants to, he can do anything without the help of any subordinate. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is known as Almighty. In the present age of Kali, there will eventually be a great scarcity of water, anavrishti, for the general populace due to ignorance and the scarcity of yagic ingredients. In the present age of Kali, there will eventually be a great scarcity of water for the general populace due to ignorance and the scarcity of yagic ingredients. It's funny. They will neglect to perform yagyas. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore advises Yajna Sankirtan Praya Yajanti Hi Sumerasaha. After all, yajna is meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age of Kali, there is a great scarcity and ignorance. Nonetheless, everyone can perform Sankirtan Yajna. Every family in every society can conduct Sankirtan Yajna at least every evening. In this way, there will be no disturbance or scarcity of rain. It is essential for the people in this age to perform the Sankirtan Yajna in order to be materially happy and to advance spiritually. Om Igena Timrandasya Gena Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Midatamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sapitam yena bhutale Svayam rupakadamayam Didati svapadantikam. Envy. It's one of our big topics of discussion. Envy. It's a constant theme that comes up again and again and again. The consequences of envy. And here we see King Indra. Very, very exalted person. A very dear devotee of the Lord. You don't get the title Indra without becoming very qualified. Unfortunately, we hear of Indra becoming envious of Krishna. This is sobering, and unsettling. Kind of unsettles our conception of ourselves as where I am as a devotee when I hear of such personalities like Indra becoming affected by envy. So much so that he directly he stops a service. He doesn't do a service. I've heard Jayadvaita Swami at one point explaining when devotees slowly depart themselves from the maybe strict and nice level of Krishna consciousness that they were maintaining due to whatever personal struggles they're having. But the bottom line, he says, just find some service and do it for Krishna. Some service. Something that you know, this is my service to Krishna. You basically don't completely give up on yourself. So basically don't stop our service. And I know myself, a personal point, the consciousness can be quite bad at times. The interest in becoming serious or hearing the holy name and participating in the devotional activities going on can be an extreme struggle. It can be like no to little interest. Okay, I've still got my service. I'm going to do this. This is what I'm meant to do, and I'm not going to abandon that. So maybe it's a saving grace. So here, Indra's got such an envious state that he said, "No, I'm not doing it. I don't care. I'm not doing my service." So, of course, Krishna goes, "Okay, I don't need your service. You need the service to me." Shishi Radha Gopinath ki, Jagannapala Badri ki, Shishi Gonatai ki. It's always a nice meditation to remind us, especially when externally we think there's so many things that a place needs and so many services, and I'm so needed. But we have to be careful not getting caught in that consciousness. No, Krishna does not need our service. Far from it. He doesn't need our cooking. He doesn't need our money collecting. He doesn't need our intelligent figuring out of things. Krishna can figure it all out very happily for himself. But he lets us do it because that's the relationship. But what is envy? What is envy? Anybody like to gesture a simple definition of what is envy? Want to be the controller and the enjoyer of the selves. Or separate from Krishna. If you want to be the enjoyer and controller. Yeah? Yeah. Another anybody else? Yeah. The means to get it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's actually your last point there. Kind of, I was thinking, because I looked up the dictionary and envy, and it's words like jealousy and hankering, these words are there. But I think to use the simplest language, envy, well, combining two things that you're saying there. One, envy, it's a big topic actually, it's a huge, it's not one specific activity. Envy is a very big umbrella topic that so many of our other bad qualities come under. So enviousness is a very much a general state of consciousness we get into. But as a basic definition, he has and I want. Either. Should anyone make a definition? Yeah.
So envy is, I want something that you have. Whereas in the current times, envy meant animosity, or something that you have inherently against somebody.
Okay. Yeah, and that's, Srila Prabhupada gives it as his definition of why people kill animals. Actually, he used envy in that older Victorian sense, that animal slaughter is an expression of envy. You think people don't think about things. I don't envy the animal that I'm killing, but it is. It's a fruit of our materialistic consciousness that I kill others. But the basic one is that, like, he has and I want, and it's the fundamental consciousness that we've created in ourselves due to coming into matter, coming into the material world, because the nature of matter is that it's frustrating. And that's why the enviness actually, and Krishna talks about envy, interesting, a lot of places in the Bhagavad Gita discuss it, and he directs it towards different places. So the first one he says, not the first one, but envy is of the ninth chapter. Krishna starts his qualification for Arjuna's hearing. What does he say? What's Arjuna's qualification for being there in front of Krishna, hearing? He's a friend and he's not envious. Yeah. Anasuyave. Because you're not envious of me, You're here in front of me now, and you're hearing from me, Krishna says to Arjuna. Anusuyave, you're not envious of me. So we know that's the bottom line. That's what everyone in the material world has done. Krishna's given us this wonderful playground to try and be him. We're in a very confused, crazed place where everybody's put their hand up and goes, I'm Krishna. No, 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 I'm... And like, everywhere around us, every expression is, I'm Krishna. That's all we hear around us. Every expression of sense gratification, somebody raising their hand and going, I'm Krishna. Me. So you've got, whatever the population is, a few billion people all saying this. So you can imagine, even in a simple room where people are saying that I'm, it gets like, whew, pretty crazy, like, not so. That's the material world. So we're psychologically dealing with that fact that we're all going around confused, very confused who we are, and all claiming to be Krishna. So Krishna says, so at least deal with this. Don't be envious of me. But then later on, he goes on in the 12th chapter, towards the end, when he's praising his devotees. The first characteristic, those last batch of verses, Krishna says, and this is very dear to me, and this person is very dear to me. And when he starts, the first characteristic is, he says, those who are not envious of others. Those who are not envious of others. So then, of course, we always, the progression of where it starts and how it travels. But then here we know it, we're more conscious of our envious of others. Like, to say I'm envious of Krishna, especially as devotees, we kind of think, nah. I think Krishna's God, and I like coming to Krishna. I like getting a chance to swing Krishna and coming up for puja. I like doing things for Krishna. But it's unfortunate that we will, if we're a little introspective and honest, see symptoms of the fact that, no, deep rooted in our heart, there is still a very dark portion of myself that is not convinced about Krishna being the enjoyer, and that I am still that. But then, in relation to others, it's more obvious, more easy. To be aware of it. And the key way, and the very one of the basic, maybe many basic ways of seeing my envious of others is fault finding. Is specifically, and this is given, sorry, I forget where I read it. Well, I can't remember the context where Prabhupada was saying it, but specifically fault finding when there's so much reason to see good. When there's so much reason to see good, and I see the faults. When I see that in my consciousness, then I directly can stamp it. That's my envies. That's me being envious. And of course, fault finding itself is actually not to be unexpected. I won't say it's not wrong. In one sense, it's not. It's like we have this, Rina Superpu explains nicely about chanting Hare Krishna. Like, we have to soberly admit we're chanting with offenses. So chanting Hare Krishna with offenses is not itself the real problem. That's just a state where we're at. We can't berate ourselves. We can't bang ourselves for like being at the stage we're at. We're on a progress. We're here at a certain point. We're at the point of Nam Abbas. We're chanting with offenses. That's where I'm at. The problem is when I chant with offences and I'm maintaining it and I'm thinking that's where I'm at and that's where I'm staying, and I rationalise and I create and I don't put any energy into to move on. Now my boss is the stage where I'm committing offences. I'm still committing offences, but I'm on the stage where I'm committing offences and I'm trying to go forward. The clearing stage. The offences are still being made. But now I'm above stage, I'm committing offences and I'm not even trying. I'm not trying. What did I say there? I said Namabhas again, did I? Okay. So sorry, the Namaparad stage. Namaparad stage is where the offences are going on. So there's a difference between the two, is just that in the endeavour to move forward. And as residents of Kali Yuga, we should constantly, and this is in Srila Prabhupada, and brought this to his in his preaching with the word sincerity. We simply have to be doing the best we can, because there's so many things against us individually and collectively. We have so many obstacles we have to confront, but if we're doing what we can, that little bit moving forward, then Krishna is Bhavagrihi Janardhan. He will see the good. But if he stopped pushing, if he stopped trying to, I heard one nice definition Prabhupada said, Sadhu Sangha is hearing an association of devotees who are eager to progress in Krishna consciousness. That eagerness, not just doing it. There's got to be Lolam is the word, isn't it? Yeah, lolam. It's got to be, I want to go forward, I want to get somewhere else, I want to get to a next point. That's got to be there. That's what makes it from mechanical to something which is Krishna will very much appreciate. So, fault finding, it's in our consciousness, it's going to be there. But it's when I then find a fellow Prabhu or Mataji and then get together and then start going, did you see? Have you heard? And then we build up it. That's the problem. And then my envy, then I'm fueling the envy. Then I'm putting fuel on my fire. And the science of everything works that the more you give attention and energy to something, it grows. So at least as a endeavoring sadhaka is when I see fault finding, my consciousness is thinking, look at that, look at this person, look at this, and look at this. Then I see I should stamp it. That's me. That's my envy. That's my enviousness. I should stop it. Krishna is making me conscious of it. He's brought this into my awareness. It's a direct communication from the Lord in her heart. This is what you're thinking now. Look at this. Okay, my dear Lord, I don't want that. Okay. It's there in my heart. You've brought it out to me now, so please let it go. Let it go. And that ability to see it and that ability to respond to it in the right way is what comes from our good, our sadhana. Makes us conscious, makes us sharp, makes us aware, makes us eager. But enviousness actually goes on to a very psychologically strange level. So Krishna says we're envious of him, and then we're envious of others. But it philosophically seems to come down that the principal thing we're envious of is ourselves. It gets like really weird. Like the whole thing just gets. And this is in the 16th chapter in discussing the divine and demonic natures. Prabhupada explains this a couple of times actually. The enviousness is of ourself, of our original spiritual self. And he explains in a couple of times, he makes this point about if somebody murders somebody, it's an expression of envy. And for that enviousness, they're not just envious of the person they're murdering, but they're envious of themselves. Because what they're doing to themselves by the laws of nature, they're killing themselves. Because one, you'd be caught by the government and killed, or two, you'd certainly be caught by material nature and punished. There's a deep psychological emphasis of our original spiritual being that's going on. So we've become so frustrated in our identification with this body, with the bodies we've been through, and so frustrated again by the fact that everything I'm seeking, I'm not getting it. I'm just, the nature of matter will not provide what I'm looking for. Which is my original pursuit in the spiritual world, unlimited and ever-expanding nature, my fundamental activities, the way I go about the material world, I'm always expressing an envious of my original spiritual nature. Therefore, these are counteracted by, Srila Prabhupada would make a continual reference to Prahlad Maharaj being an example of someone who very, very specifically exemplifies this mood of being free from envy. Anybody like to offer why Prahlad Maharaj embodies the mood of being free from envy? Adampur? Others? Yeah. Specifically, because he prayed for us as a specific point in the pastime in the seventh canto. He said when When Lord Srinagiri offers benediction, Krishna Prahlad Maharaj goes, I'm not here for a business meeting with you, Lord. I'm here to offer you service and leave it at that. And then Lord Srinagiri pushes, and Prahlad Maharaj eventually says, okay, then please give liberation to my father. And Prabhupada makes the point that this is an expression of Prahlad Maharaj's completely free from envy, somebody who so much did so much to him. And that's another a point, actually, in relation to how we will observe our expression of envy. So when something happens to us, our response is, hey, it's my fault. It's not elsewhere. It's my fault. Krishna consciousness is the end of all excuses, religion. Basically, that's it. This is where it stops. There's no more excuses, no more pushing the book. Krishna consciousness puts it very much at our own feet. We are thoroughly responsible for our own predicament, our own situation. And so Prahlad Maharaj exemplified that consciousness, even though his father had, we know that, poisoning him and getting elephants to trample on him and throwing him off cliffs and getting his servants to stab him. So much vicious ways, Prahlad Maharaj never thought. And yet the second something happens to us, some little thing, somebody grabs the last sweet in the maha tray just before us, or just small things, right? Can be just little small things. Somebody just does something that was inconsiderate of you. Why didn't you think of me? Why weren't you thinking of, like, you? We get very upset. We kind of, when we're not being thought of, in small ways. So, but then we should see, well, Krishna's, this is my responsibility, and then Krishna's looking after me, and therefore if this is what Krishna has arranged, therefore I will accept Krishna's arrangement. But also in the fifth canto, Prahlad Maharaj prays too, more so that direct, bigger mood, when he prays to the Lord, my dear Lord, let everyone be free from all suffering. And Prabhupada very much likes his point and elaborates extensively on how this is what a devotee should do. Let everyone be free from all suffering. So that's why, and here at the end of the purport, Prabhupada says that this is what we have to do. We have to yagyasana priya yajanti sumirasa kaliyadoshinade rajan astihiko mahagana. That Kali Yuga is an incredible ocean of faults. So fault finding is not a problem. It's an ocean of it. But the one benediction that we have, and actually interesting, sorry, there's another little point here. In this age of Kali, there is a great scarcity and ignorance. I just heard Shiva Maharaj mentioning, somebody asked him a question about Maharaj Sukadeva Swami's birth and from the womb of his mother, and he spent 16 years in the womb. And somebody asked a technical question, well, how does that work? What was the technical details of? And Shiva Maharaj answered in the basic way, there's so many things we don't appreciate. Kali Yuga is so, everything is damaged, everything is contaminated, affected, perverted, damaged, malfunctioning, nothing works in Kali Yuga. And everything has decreased, everything decreases. We know from the size of ourselves, to the quality of food, to the quality of everything, yagyas and interactions and everything. But only one thing hasn't decreased. Only one thing hasn't decreased in Kali Yuga. And that is, specifically, well, ignorance. Ignorance has increased very dramatically. Very dramatically, actually. And with the greater reduction of everything else, we become more convinced that we have more. So our ignorance has, as things have gone down, ignorance has gone, woo. And we see that, sadly, when we meet people, like they're so, to use a gross English word, cocky about themselves. Like, everybody, like, I know what's going on, I know the story of life, I know how it all works. And yet they know pathetically little about anything, about their spiritual identity, even their material makeup. It's sad. So we've been blessed to have a little awareness of this, and I've been requested by Srila Prabhupada to participate in his attempt to free everyone from suffering, and thereby doing something that reduces this ignorance for as many individuals as we're capable of doing, and thereby for us, getting us free from the envy of our enemies, of ourselves, of others, and ultimately Krishna. And then just to bring it into, today was Julian Yatra. So it's for five days we engage in a very intimate thing, actually. A very intimate recreation of something that goes on in the spiritual world. And we can, again, this is the mercy of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, that this has been recommended as a way, as a type of sadhana to do, is to come before the Lord and take a rope and, for His pleasure, engage in swinging. Because people like to swing too, right? It's a very common swinging on a swing. It's a very universal, pleasurable activity. But sadly, it's like everything else here. When we do it, even such a sweet little thing, it's an expression of envy. Because I'm not meant to be on the swing. I want to be on the swing. When's my turn? From the little child thinking like that to us thinking like that. As adults, we may not be so obvious. When's my turn? You get off, it's my go. We want to be on the swing. So during Yatra, for those of you who may be so blessed to be absorbed in how Radha and Krishna take such pleasure in the swinging pastimes and allow us our awareness of His pleasure, from those who may be blessed with that, to on a more anarthani riti meditation, where I'm thinking, yes, Krishna, you should be on the swing. Let me pull the rope for you and Shrimati Radharani's pleasure. This is my service, to give you pleasure, not to be really trying to replace you. And that way we meditate in such a way that the Lord reciprocates and will reveal Himself and His heart to us. And naturally the envy, and because envy is such a big thing actually. I wanted to mention just as a Shastric clarification, we know about the six bad qualities, right? Six bad qualities are... Yeah. But actually, interesting enough, there's a science to the order of these. Like everything else, any list, we have so many lists in Krishna consciousness. There's an order to them. The first one is lust. Then... I wanted, I'm not going to get it, and I become... Yeah, from lust comes anger. Then jump in head, and if I get angry, then which one? No, kama, krodha, lobha, lust, anger, greed. Then from greed, then there is illusion, then madness, then envy. So there is a psychology built up. I want it, I don't get it, I'm angry, and I'm going to try and push for it more, then I get more an illusion because I identify with it, and then my behavior, because I'm such illusion, I go completely silly, and ultimately, envy. Envy is the fruit of all those five things, and I engage in that. So the connection is, for us, we're going to say, I'll get free of my envy. Good luck. It's too deep, it's a subtle progression of the fruit of our conditioned activities. But the first thing we do is karma. We try to control our lust. We try to control our senses. And that's why Prabhupada says it 1,000,010 times. The important thing is controlling the senses. And that fundamental thing, if we control our senses, then we won't get so angry. And then we won't get so greedy. And then our illusion. And then ultimately we'll be slowly taking down or chipping away at the rather huge obstacle we've placed in our relationship with Krishna, is that our enemies is of Him. And it's quite crazy, right? Madness, envy. The sweetest, most beautiful, most opulent, and we think we can become Him. So we've created a big obstacle and and we have to deal with it. And the first way we deal with it is the control of karma. Okay, it's 10 to 9, so I have to stop here. Maybe we'll take one question, just be bold. And if you'd like to say something, I'm not sure.
Very nice lecture. Just a couple of points. One was
embodiment of compassion. Well, I would be so bold to say that they're polar opposites. What our enviousness does, it makes us hard. And compassion is soft. So his free from enviousness manifests his compassion. Because if I envy you, I'm not feeling good for you, if anything. And because that's back to the point of enviousness of the soul is an all-giving, all-loving being. And in matter, we're the opposite. We're pulling everything to myself, and we're trying to take from others and take from Krishna. And because it's so artificial, we're killing our very original compassionate soft nature and making ourselves hard. So we harden. So, and that's where Krishna consciousness is the ultimate softening technique. We want to soften ourselves again to our, and we hear that Vaishnavas are as soft as a rose and as thunderbolt. So Pladmaraj, certainly, yeah, compassion and freedom and envy go hand in hand. And that's why we know that the any attempt at preaching, we're not on that platform, but that's what it is. We're not really on that feeling, meditating at that. I want to connect someone to Krishna, but that's what it is. And by doing it, we get more benefit than we can possibly imagine. So, she'll definitely. Okay. Grantrashmi Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.